Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Strategies of Success. Hey, today we're going to be discussing an event that's coming up. It's called the Pathways to Health Gala in the Heart Garden. And it's a fantastic event for a number of different reasons. And it's a perfect event for the nonprofit that's affiliated with this one also. And I'm going to explain why. And I got our guest on that's going to go into a little bit of details as what the Fairways Foundation is all about and the importance of it. But I just want to give you a little brief about the Pathways to Health event that's coming up August 11th. The facility is in Mount Sinai, and as they have said, it's one of those best-kept secrets. Because what they are doing is they have a facility that helps train people, and there's different events that are taking place there, different workshops, seminars, and it's all about that health thing. You know, being healthy is so important, but also being healthy, living a healthy lifestyle, doing what you can to improve yourself, comes in so many different shapes, sizes, and colors. You know, those that are healthy naturally look at health as a way of really exploring different things and trying to do as much as you possibly can. Others look at it much more from just an intellectual level, how to get much more in touch with themselves, understanding who they are as a person, you know, that big why thing. And for others, it's a matter of doing what they can with the issues that they are dealing with. And I find that to be an interesting bunch because those are the ones that really are focused. Those are the ones that really see these monumental changes in the way that they do things. And those are the people that I think really become some of the most inspiring ones of them all. And it's really phenomenal. Our guest today is representing the Fairway Foundation. She is the community liaison. She's a good friend of mine. We've done business together. We've done different kinds of events, been involved in all kinds of nonprofits and other kinds of groups. Her name is Rosemary Klufel, and Rosemary's got a story and a half. Rosemary knows how to use that written word and deliver it in a number of different ways, and it does it in a manner where it's really, truly helpful and meaningful. Rosemary, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Thank
good
you
morning.
For having me.
It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. So the Fairway Foundation and your involvement in that, you want to give us a brief background about it? And then we can really explain why it's a perfect fit-in with the Pathways to Health Gala event.
Well, my employer is actually Fairway Independent Mortgage Corp, and they're licensed to lend for homes in 50 states. And in 2004, they started a 501c3, the Fairway Foundation, to basically help their employees, their communities. And since then, one of our goals is to help veterans. And so in 2014, I decided and my colleagues in the Long Island branch to see if we could start our own initiative here. And since Suffolk County and Nassau County have such a high concentration of veterans, the most in the state and the second most in the country, which was a shocking fact that I wasn't even aware of, and I've lived on the island of, you know, most of my adult life, that we have veterans right here. They're our neighbors, they're our coworkers, they're our friends, and we're not even aware that they're veterans because they're not wearing a uniform. So people are surprised to hear that we have so many veterans here, and they have, you know, they have issues that they need to struggle with, you know, everyday issues just like you and me, but then they have some additional, challenges from having served in the military. So we're here to help, and, you know, we're made up of all volunteers. There's no paid board, and we have the backing of a great organization, a great company, Fairway Mortgage, and I've been working with them for years, and they really do care about their community, and it's just one way of them trying to give back.
Yeah. It was a surprise to me, too, to find out about the large population of servicemen and women, because we don't have a quote-unquote military base here, not in the truest sense like you'd find out in Georgia and a number of other states. So it was also a surprise to me, but we do have a large population, and the amount of talent that they bring is really phenomenal, but they also have the dealing with the issues of the post-traumatic stress disorder and just reacclimating to more of a civilian life. And that is something that we certainly do need to pay much more attention to. And it's great that you're able to do your part in helping throughout this whole process, including on the finding homes and really becoming a part of the community and owning something, because that's a big thing when it comes to that confidence building and being a part of something, having that ownership value, so you're able to help out where possible with the homing, with the home home life, home ownership.
Well, I mean, part of the American dream for most people is to one day, you know, have the house, not necessarily with the picket fence, but something to call their own. So, and, you know, home ownership does a lot. It helps the person have pride in what they have and establish roots. And you don't have to worry about the landlord raising your rent and you having to move or that type of thing. And actually can build financial wealth because you're paying down, you know, your mortgage versus, you know, just paying a landlord's, you know, who's paying their mortgage. So, but it also helps the community because if, you know, a homeowner will usually take better care of their home than possibly a tenant because it's theirs. They own it. They're paying for it. It's long-term. And so when one of the things that was disturbing, getting to know more veterans in our community, is that there's a very large disproportionate of veterans that are homeless or struggling even to be in even an apartment, let alone a home. And a lot of them aren't even aware that they're, you know, the VA loan, which guarantees a mortgage for a veteran, that they don't even need a down payment. So there's a lack of information. I think there's a lack of support because I don't think they don't see people come back and they don't see physical wounds, and I don't think that the amount of trauma that these veterans go through, because even if they haven't been shot, you know, if they've seen combat or heard combat or even seen civilian casualties where they've been stationed, or even the fact that they're always watching their back, you know, that's a heavy toll, and it can wear on you, and it can cause some issues. And unfortunately, a lot of times they come back and they don't want to seek help because they feel it's a sign of weakness. And in the military, you're trained to be strong and resilient and nothing can bother you. And so they tend to be too proud to look for help. And a lot of times they self-medicate. And that's why there's also a problem with drugs and alcohol. I mean, we have a problem with drugs and alcohol in our country as it is, but there is, again, a disproportionate amount that veterans take that blunt. And I definitely understand from talking to veterans throughout the last couple of years and getting to know more and more of them and becoming very good friends with them. I sympathize and I empathize and I wanted to do something. You know, it's a lot for them to carry. And I mean, I've known a lot of Vietnam veterans, and even though the war is over 40 years ago, some things you can never forget. You know, good or bad. You know, you don't forget, you know, the birth of your child. You don't forget, you know, the important things in life, but you also don't forget the really bad things in life. And so it's if you're subjected to a lot of that repeatedly, especially at a young age, talking to one Vietnam vet, and, you know, at 20 years old, to see the soldier that you had lunch with an hour before die, you know, 2 feet away from you, and then you struggle with, you're glad in that instant it wasn't you, but then later you have time to reflect that person is gone and that family has to grieve. So you have you have issues that are understandable, and we should definitely try to do what we can as civilians, because they're fighting for us. They're fighting, whether you're for war or against war, doesn't matter. We have a very strong military presence in the world. The world looks to the United States to be there in peacetime and in wartime. And the least we can do is try to do what we can to help them when they come back. And I think the part of the problem is they don't feel they belong. And I think having a home establishes roots that really can help. So, I mean, our goal here on Long Island, the Ferry Foundation branch, is to take one of these zombie homes that are blight on our community that have been sitting vacant for years and years, and why not renovate it and gut it and make it a showcase and give it to a Purple Heart recipient, somebody who's been wounded in combat, and give them a new start.
You know, it doesn't sound like there's any downside to it. It doesn't sound like there's any downside, you know, to the whole thing. You know, the zombie homes have been, you know, been left abandoned, and if it just sits there for years, then all of a sudden the town's going to come in and knock it down, and you're still sitting there with a piece of property that can be used, and it can be used. It's flat, it can be used. So to be able to give it to a veteran, I think is an absolute wonderful idea. And it's another way for the community to get involved in the whole process, too, because there's usually going to be, you know, some work that needs to be done on the house. So do people also volunteer, you know, besides giving it to the veteran and the financial side of it, but just like the regular volunteering to help rebuild the home and do whatever is necessary?
Yes, you know, the best part of this is it's their neighbors. It's our local community that wants to do this. We have people who have ready to volunteer and do some of the labor. We have organizations like Home Depot and 7-Eleven who are spreading the words and have said that they're ready to help and roll up their sleeves as well. We have the Interior Design Society, our Long Island chapter, who's going to do all the design work. So this home is going to go from a flight to the community to a showcase for the community. You know, we have people that are willing to take their talents and donate their time and do something that is going to be you know, ongoing. You know, you don't, you know, it's said if you, you know, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but if you teach a man a fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And by giving this veteran and their family a home, you're giving them, you know, 30 years of the remainder of their life, hopefully, to a place where every time they turn that key, they know the community welcomed them home. The community cared. The community wants them to succeed. And that psychological impression, I think, is more important even than the walls. It's that their belief that they are not outcasts. And I think a lot of times, if you go back to Vietnam, I mean, they came back and they were spit on. They were told, get out of your uniform before you get off the plane, because they were not accepted. And they were drafted, or they enlisted because they knew they were getting drafted. And yet, the way we treated them when they came back was, you know, deplorable. So this is just our way of doing something to make a difference and to maybe remind our community that, you know, these are people. These are our brothers and sisters, our neighbors. And each of us can, again, take a little time, a little effort, and do something that may make a lasting impression.
Right. Yeah, they have certainly put themselves in harm's way. And kudos to the families of these people, too, because, again, with them volunteering, that was probably a discussion, you know, all around, you know, with their own families. So there's a lot of folks that are affected by our servicemen and women that are going overseas, putting themselves in harm's way and being absolutely alert all the time. And that does take a toll. So anything that we could do to welcome them back, and I know there's a group that meets them over at MacArthur Airport when a lot of them return, and you hear more about these parades, even if they're like small, little, local, anything parades, but just showing recognition, you know, for these folks for what they do is absolutely phenomenal. And I think it's a great program. You know, it's a good blending, too, of what your area of expertise is, certainly within the whole real estate community, helping out with the real estate. And for somebody to own a home, it does give them that sense of really being a part of the community. And when the community can help in that whole process, too, hey, that's even better. It's always nice. It would be nice to get the little welcome kits when you're moving into a neighborhood. Show that the neighborhood was a friendly neighborhood and they cared that you moved in. This is even more so, much more extreme, much more important than anything. So, Rosemary, you really have found different ways of communicating your own thoughts with this topic through spoken word, you know, comedy, but also with your songwriting. So there's been a couple of songs that you've developed to express your feelings here.
Well, you know, people ask me about my music, and any type of writing is therapeutic. So I actually was at the VA hospital in Northport back in 2013, 2014, and I was speaking to a group of homeless veterans. And when I went home, I couldn't get the sadness, you know, the sad thoughts out of my head. So, a song came to me, I wrote it down, and we actually had a contest, because who should sing a veteran themed song than a veteran? So we actually had a Long Island contest. It was Veteran Idol, and we had two winners, Victoria McCoy and Sen Mustang, Amy Sen, and they wound up singing one of my songs at one of our events. And, you know, music is a way of getting the word out. You know, when you know, if you've had some heartache, you put on the radio and you listen to some songs, it reminds you that you're not alone. And the same is true with any song. So a lot of the songs speak about post-traumatic stress and trying to relate the message of what the soldier or sailor that's returned, or how they're feeling, and the invisible ones that they carry with them. So so I'm proud that they're well-received. And, yeah, I mean, to me, people ask me, you know, you write songs, you write comedy, you write for List Magazine, and basically it's just, I guess it depends on my mood, right? You could be humorous if you're having a great day, and you could think about the sadness if you're, you know, met someone that's impacted you in some way.
Right. Well, even the, you know, using humor, you know, to deal with different kinds of issues, you know, I've seen that, you know, across the board too. It's important. I mean, all these things are different ways to connect. And if there's one common theme here with what you're doing, how you're communicating, veteran idol, that must have been some. That must have been a load of fun to do. But, you know, all these different ways of communicating, connecting with others is very important. And it's, as you said, it is therapeutic. Anytime you do these things, if you're doing it for somebody else with really the right intentions and you're bringing people along, giving them a chance to sing, as you did,
right,
you know, in the Veteran Idol, it's puts a smile on the face, maybe an embarrassing smile. With some of the voices, who knows? But then you get the surprise voice too, so it's got to be a lot of fun to do.
You know what? And the two winners, you know, by their own admission, have post-traumatic stress, and I think it's therapeutic for them too, because I mean, I'm not a veteran, and people ask me all the time, "Is like, you know, you got it dead on, you know, the words are dead on," but you know, it's just a feeling that you invoke, and you know, and I've been blessed that, you know, I'm a decent writer. And I try to use it, you know, depending on the situation. So if it gives me an opportunity to give people a sense of belonging and, you know, have them feel that someone gets it. And, you know, and that's why I'm excited to be part of, you know, the gala, the 20th anniversary gala of Pathways to Health, is because they get it. You know, part of being healthy is physical health and also state of mind and also a sense of community belonging. You know, people want to be accepted. And, you know, good, bad, and indifferent, you know, whatever, as a person, they want to be accepted and be understood. And I think that what Judy and Bill are doing at Pathways is tremendous. And you know, part of the reason they were looking for a charity that dealt with veterans and understood the whole issue of post-traumatic stress is because, like I said, we have lots of veterans amongst us, and so we need to help them too. They're our neighbors too, and they're trying to do something about it. And I think that it's outstanding that for 20 years they've tried to make an impact in their community and help people, you know, function in life, not just get through the day, but also be happy and have a good state of mind and know that they have support. And I don't think that that can be replaced in anything that we do. And you know, and they combine the best of both worlds. They work for both medicine and holistic options to help people, whether it's physical, mental well-being. So I'm really honored that they chose the Fairway Foundation to receive a portion of the proceeds from the gala. So I'm hoping that everyone out there and all your listeners, Brian, attend or go on the website and find out more about it.
Yeah, the website they could go to for Pathways to Health is actually pathwaystohealth.com. Nice, straightforward website. This way, you know, it's not something that you're finding all over the place. And the two people that Rosemary is speaking about is Dr. William Besman and nurse practitioner Judith Grant. And I also found the place very interesting. I didn't know about it until this event, until, you know, we're looking to get involved, you know, in something. But they have taken alternative medicine in a manner that is also very accepting and very part of the community. And even the location is right in the middle of a community, which is really unique in and of itself. But they both have the medical backgrounds. Judith Grant, being a nurse practitioner first, Dr. William Besman, again, a doctor first. So they've gone from the medical community, the medical way of thinking, which they still do, and they blend it in and use the alternative medicine, using it as not as a flat-out replacement, but as a support vehicle for the efforts that they do for the medical community. And I think that is something that's totally refreshing, because I've seen that with a couple of other doctors you just wouldn't expect it from. It was one surgeon I spoke to. You know, he also believes that there are other things that the patient can be doing or the doctors can be doing to support the patient that are not just, quote-unquote, straightforward medicine that you'd read in a book type thing. So, you know, it's great what they're doing. But as it ties in over here with the post-traumatic stress disorder, that was something that was different, and I think different for somebody who's a veteran rather than a civilian. Because if there's some stressful situation that we're going through, it's a situation. It's usually some event, something that took place that was traumatic that we're dealing with. But with a veteran that has served a tour or maybe multiple tours of duty, it's that whole thing. It may not just be one event. It may be multiple events that come through. So it was a little bit harder to point to. So the idea that, you know, with the writing of the songs and allowing them to fully communicate out in a number of different ways, and they do that over there also in a number of different ways, it's healthy for everybody. And I give you a lot of credit, too, for being so able to understand what they're going through without having gone through it. And, you know, that shows that you've got some great listening skills, that you really pay attention, you know, to what is going on in somebody else's life and could pull from that in order to, you know, put the song together. So that's a great compliment they gave you, saying that you got it right on.
Well, you know what? I had a friend, unfortunately he passed. He was a World War II veteran. And we had writing in common. He was a writer as well. So when I saw him, I didn't see him as a veteran. I just saw him as a great, you know, tall gentleman, lanky gentleman, that was very creative. And he said to me one day when we were having coffee, he said, "Thank you." And I said, "For what?" He goes, "Thank you for not asking me." Because so many people would go up to him and say, "Tell me what it was like to be in World War II. Tell me what it was like to be in Normandy." And he said, to tell it is to relive it. And those words echoed in my head for a long, long time. So after that speaking engagement, those are the words I kept hearing. I kept hearing, his name was Leo Giovenco, and he was an outstanding gentleman. And unfortunately, he passed 2 years ago, so he never got to hear any of my songs. So, you know, that's sad to me. So, but I never forgot those words. And you know, so, and a lot of times people will be insensitive and ask a veteran, you know, what was it like? You know, maybe they're not ready to share that, you know, like you said, now, if you've been deployed over and over again, or I know one Vietnam veteran who was in the jungles of Vietnam and Cambodia for 264 days. And, you know, to have to look over your shoulder for 264 days, or if you're, you know, post 9/11 and you've been deployed over and over again, you know, that's got to wear on your psyche. And to be insensitive and to ask a veteran, you know, "Well, tell me what was it like. Did you have to kill anyone? Did you see anybody get blown up?" I mean, those are horrible questions to ask somebody. If they want to share, you know, and you have a relationship of trust and they want to share, or you could just say to that person, if it's someone that you're intimate with, you know, a family member, a spouse, a child, a parent, you could say, you know, "If you ever want to talk, if you ever want to share, I'm here for you, but I'll never ask you." And I think that's really a better way to approach that. You know, I mean, if they're seeking help or they want to speak about it, but, you know, the reality is they may never want to tell you, because some of the things can be pretty bad, and I don't think most people really know how bad. One thing that shocked me, we think about what we see and what we hear in tragic events, but what about what we smell? This one particular Vietnam veteran said, you know, it's one thing you see, you know, a fellow soldier being killed, and it's another thing to have to stay your ground and in the heat and the jungle to literally watch and smell that person, you know, laying next to you and knowing there's nothing you can do, And he said that smell will never leave him. And, you know, that to me was like, wow. You know, that's,
yeah,
that was shocking.
That's very impactful. Don't think about that, really, right?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that was, that said it all. And I would never ask a veteran to tell a story like that. You know, he, you know, this was a, you know, a friendship that I had developed. And, you know, same thing. I said, you know, if you ever wanted to talk about it, I would never judge a person because, you know, until you've walked in those shoes, don't ever say or judge someone. You know, the, you know, you do what you survive and you do what you're told. And so it's not always what you want to do. Sometimes it's what you have to do. And I think part of the reason that we have a lot of, you know, 22 suicides a day of veterans. 22 suicides a day, one every 65 minutes. What does that say? Is that they're carrying this guilt, guilt of survival, moral guilt, just can't get the visions out of their head, the voices out of their head because of what they've seen or what they've had to do or, you know, with the experiences that they had. To me, that is such a tragedy. You know, and I don't think when people hear that number, doesn't really seep to the core as much as it should.
No, probably not. That 22 push-up challenge maybe is helping in some respect make it a bit more, I don't know, of a reality for some. You know, especially if you're sitting there doing the 22 push-ups and it's a struggle to do the 22, you start saying, hey, that's a lot of push-ups. Well, you know something? That's a lot of lives. That's a lot of lives that are being lost for reasons that shouldn't be. And if it really is a matter of us, all of us, one at a time, going out and just saying thank you every once in a while to those that we know are in the service or helping, you know, support however, whichever way that we possibly can with the foundation, with the Fairways Foundation. You know, there are certainly some certain things that we could do and should do. And I think it's great that you have gotten involved in such a way with this from both a business and also a personal standpoint. That it's a great example of what a lot of other people, you know, can be doing and should be doing. So, you know, kudos to you, you know, on that and communicating it out with your writing and also with the songs that you write too. You know, it's good. And maybe that should be the takeaway, you know, for many of us. You know, there's different ways that we could communicate, you know, with people, whatever is best for us to do, you know, that we should, and just being there for others, understanding, showing an interest in what other people are doing, even if you don't fully understand. And I don't know if we could, you know, without serving myself, I don't know if I really could understand what it is that they've gone through. And I've had this conversation with my uncle, who's also since passed. But you know, he'd wanted to go down to visit the World War II Memorial in Washington, so I took him. You know, we went. But even that day, you know, where it would have been so easy for him to start talking about many of the experiences, it was spoken about, but we didn't spend the entire day doing that. So, Rosemary, you're a special woman. Keep doing what you're doing.
You too. You too, Brian. And, you know, part of the you know, the Fairway Foundation here on Long Island, we have the Purple Heart Campaign, and it's just a paper purple and gold heart with the Military Order of Purple Heart has given us permission to actually use the Purple Heart medal on there. And we ask organizations, schools to sign their name and donate a dollar, whatever they can afford, and then post it. And if you go on our Facebook page, it's the Fairway Foundation. Pictures and videos of different organizations, schools, 7-Eleven, mom and pop stores, you know, just showing their support. We had one veteran walk in, and there was a 7-Eleven in East Northport that had 600 Purple Hearts, and they had done that in just a matter of a couple of weeks, and a veteran had walked in and said, "What is this about?" I don't think people realize that most, I mean, do people, do your listeners even know what a Purple Heart is? A Purple Heart is a medal that you get if you've been wounded in combat. And yet our children don't know. Many adults don't know. So that a veteran knows, or a vet, or someone who has a veteran in their family, walking in and seeing a wall of Purple Hearts with people's signature on them, he said, "What is this about?" And the owner of the 7-Eleven said, "We're trying to show support for our veterans, and we're trying to do something about it, and we're raising funds to help our local veterans." And he broke down. The veteran broke down because he didn't think anybody cared. So, I mean, to me, it's education process, you know, to make them understand. And it's also a way of sending a signal out there to the veterans that we do care, we are here, and we're trying to make a difference, even if it's one heart, $1 at a time.
You know what? It's the $1 at a time, but it's also that piece of paper up on the wall that shows and says, "I care." Without it saying, "I care," it just does. It shows that there is that recognition out there that we do appreciate and acknowledge some of the things that our service people are going through. So it's all good. Rosemary, I will see you August 11th at the Pathways to Health Gala event.
I will be there. And actually, we're going to debut one of my new songs, Remember Me. And so I hope that your listeners out there come and join us. It'll be a great event. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. All right, so the Pathways to Health Gala event is coming up August 11th, 2016. That's going to be held at the Pathways to Health facility in Mount Sinai. And Gino?
Yes, Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So here is our in-house expert, ladies and gentlemen, the man behind the scenes that has been such an instrumental part of this gala event. So, you know, man, it's all you. And it's great, the effort that you're putting into this thing, your reasons behind it, all of our reasons behind, you know, getting something there. You know, we all have different points of view as to what this is all about or what Pathways to Health is all about. But you know what? That's just the honest truth. You know, it's so many things. We all have reasons why we do what we do. And when we all kind of come together for maybe different reasons, but with that same goal, it's a great thing. So you want to just explain a little bit about the event, where it is, tickets, all the rest of that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. You know, well, first, I definitely want to commend, you know, Rosemary in her pursuit to help Long Island veterans. I think what she's doing, you know, here on the island is God's work. With none of us, you know, what she's doing, we're not doing enough, you know, for veterans. And I think we can all take a page from her book and from her, you know, passion that she demonstrates, you know, to help Long Island veterans. So kudos to Rosemary with her efforts in the Purple Heart campaign.
I agree with that 100%.
And that's, you know, and to be honest with you, you know, when we all sort of kind of came together and, you know, we were looking for, you know, different not-for-profits to donate to for the 20th anniversary of Pathways to Health. When we heard about some of the great work that Rosemary was doing, I mean, we thought it was a no-brainer. So, you know, the Purple Heart campaign is actually going to, you know, be the recipient the night of the event, a portion of the proceeds that are generated to the 20th anniversary of Pathways to Health on August 11th will actually be donated to Rosemary's, you know, not-for-profit, the Purple Heart campaign. So that's going to be great. But, you know, the event itself is basically synergizing the entire holistic community. You know, throughout Long Island, we have people who are media sponsors that are coming all the way from Manhattan who are different healers. And, you know, quickly, a little bit about myself, you know, I'm also sort of new to this whole holistic world. I mean, I come from the hotel industry and the hotel background. And, you know, through this event, I've really learned of, you know, all these different alternative ways of healing between, like, aromatherapy, Reiki healing, Anra healing. And these are all different methods, you know, that Pathways use, you know, to heal people. And so a lot of these people got their certifications and their accreditations at Pathways, you know, as it's been sort of like an institution for the past 20 years where these people would go and study and actually stay on site for a week or two at a time. And these people since then have gone and, you know, established their own businesses, you know, throughout the island. So this is their 20th year anniversary, and it's a way for them to bring back sort of like their past alumni, as well as, you know, call upon the entire holistic community throughout Long Island. So there'll be yoga teachers, you know, even fitness instructors, anything having to do with health and wellness. They're encouraged to participate, you know, as we synergize, again, to benefit such a worthy cause, which is the Purple Heart campaign. and you know, Rosemary's organization helping veterans on Long Island, and she's I believe she's going to be performing herself one of the songs that she wrote as well. So it's really going to be an excellent evening. Right now the tickets are $75 up until July 15th, which is Friday. And, you know, Anthony Pellegrino, who is the owner of Windows on the Lake and Beach Club Estates, will be the private chef for the evening. He has prepared different foods that will be, you know, served. So it'll be dinner, food, you know, a silent auction, and sort of like an expo where all these different businesses, you know, will be able to meet and greet with the guests. So it's going to be a good one. We're very excited.
Looking forward to it, you know, and we've all been down to the facility. It's just a beautiful place, too. It certainly is setting up to be one of the best nights when it comes to bringing everybody together. This way we could all help each other and learn about all the different methods that are out there, the alternative methods that are out there when it comes to healing. But there will be a lot of other companies, too, that are sponsoring that are just very symbiotic in that whole thing, really, just where the whole thing kind of works together. So it's all good. So, you know, I want to thank you for you know, for popping on over here and helping give us a brief explanation about what is going on. Tickets can be purchased at galaintheheartgarden.eventbrite.com. Certainly visit the websites, Pathways to Health. This way you can see what is going on at Pathways with the different consultants that are involved with the place, the different programs that they have, and also get a little bit more background information on there. And Rosemary, the best place for them to go to find out about the foundations?
Sure. It's the Fairway Foundation, and the website is veteranshomegiveaway.org. And you can also find us on Facebook on the Fairway Foundation. And my employer, Fairway Independent Mortgage, will have a vendor table. We're excited to be there and support Pathways and the great work that they've done in the community. And you don't have to be someone in the holistic field to be a vendor or to come down. Basically, it's going to be an evening of getting to know other people in your community, doing what you can to give back, and also just finding out what else is out there. You know, a lot of people have ailments, no matter what it is, big or small. And it's always great to have an open mind, and not everything is for everyone, but you can find something that works for you. And I think it's great what they're doing, is trying to combine the best of both worlds, and but most importantly is to be part of the community and help spread the word and do their institution and do their training. And it gives people hope that they can seek the type of help that they need depending on what they need, and also, you know, learn about themselves. You know, there's you know, between yoga and Reiki, that's, you know, there's different things that we can do to improve ourselves, and it gives you some options, and I look forward to being there.
Yeah, same here. I agree with you. So, Rosemary Kluffel, thank you so much for joining us. Gino Vinarossi, Gino, thank you so much for joining us today and for putting all the effort, you know, into making sure that this event is what it is destined to be. So, my name is Brian Cohen. When it comes to, you know, this event, you know, why I also personally felt that this one was so, so important, you know, is that idea of health. And it's not those that are, like, super healthy. You know, it's those that are dealing with some sort of a chronic illness or something. You know, we've been dealing with that, too, you know, from a family standpoint. But I also understand that from a business perspective, too. There's a lot of things that can be done, should be done, that you could do, that anybody could do. One of the things that holds us back is the I am alone, nobody cares. And it, from the veteran standpoint, from people that are dealing with health issues, from whether in other issues, whether they're self-created or not, there are a lot of people out there that do care. There are a lot of different ways for you to be the best that you can be. It's a matter of going out there and finding that and learning and seeing what's available to you and finding whatever is comfortable for you to do. And I tell you, there is stuff that is out there, and a lot of folks really, truly do care. Pathways to Health, their facility, they really do care. This whole event and everybody that's going to be participating in this has that same mindset. And that is why I think it is just so important for you to attend this. It may not be one thing that you walk away with. It may be a lot of different things, and it's a lot of different people that all think the same way. And any organization that I've ever been involved with, where everybody's thinking the same way, is a great event and a great group to be with, and there's so much to take away from that. Pathways to Health. We'll see everybody August 11th, and that is from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Pathways to Health facility in Mount Sinai, New York. We'll see you then.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks, Rosemary.